Welcome back, everybody. It is April and things are starting to really look positive weather-wise. I bet there's a lot of spring cleanup going on, and I'm here today with Neil Glatt. Welcome back, Neil.
Thanks, Leslie.
How's it going over there for you?
We are in full swing into baseball season, and I couldn't be happier.
Whoop, whoop. Oh, yeah. Such good timing, such a good time of the year. So welcome back, full out spring with all the goodness that it brings. But we are here today to talk about talent and how we determine, measure, find people that are the right kind of talent for the roles that we have available. So I know you have an opinion or two on how to do this best.
Oh, gosh. So many. You know, we are always, look, we're all about investing in people, right? And you and I as strengths coaches are very familiar with some of the guiding principles that we use, like positive intent, right?
100%.
Even when we talk about hiring or second chance hiring, I'm saying, go hire these people who don't have the traditional education or experience and frankly, don't even ask about their background, right? Just bring in them and take them at who they are and invest in them. And while I fully believe that, also, I find that it's important to have talent, right? So when we talk about what is a strength or how can a strength be developed, there's only two things. It's talent times investment. And kind of the analogy here is, you know, when you're out there tending to your garden, there's the work that you do, and then there's the conditions that you're dealing with. And you would never go try and cultivate something where you haven't tested and amended the soil, right? You want to make sure that where you're working is fertile ground for growth.
There's a Gallup has had a graphic on this for years that backs up everything you're saying.
Yeah. And so the problem that I think a lot of people run into when they're trying to build out their team, particularly in key roles like sales or leadership, is they're like, I've done everything for this person and I'm not getting the results that I anticipated. And I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to these owners that the investment was actually really good, but probably they didn't make sure that they had enough talent to begin with.
Oh, okay. So it's maybe not always a lack of investment.
You have to have both components to have success. And, you know, a lot of people out there are trying to measure talent, or that is make intelligent hiring decisions with assessments that are frankly impossible of predicting it. And they're using lots of things like Colby and Predictive Index and Culture Index and Hogan that don't tell you anything about someone's actual talent.
Yeah. So I'm hearing you loud and clear. And I know that there are shortfalls for many, or maybe probably all assessments, but there are some that are going to fit this benchmark better. So
yeah. And Leslie, you and I are both strengths coaches, and we know that Kifton Strengths is also completely inappropriate for hiring. Assessment. Right. In fact, there's a blog on Gallup that says it is dangerous to use this for hiring selection.
Yeah, you just don't do. People will look at Kifton Strengths results and say, oh, that's the perfect salesperson. When in fact, that could look so radically different five times over.
Correct. And so what I'm talking about is any personality or behavioral assessment is never a measure of talent.
No.
And the reason why what they are saying is wrong and will not pan out for you is because they will look at an organization and they will say, oh, we know what this role requires, right? Because they measure, let's say salespeople, they look at all the top performing salespeople, they give them the assessment and they say, wow, 83% of your top performing salespeople are high in decisiveness or whatever they call it.
Right? Okay.
Gotcha. And so they say, well, you must hire someone who is highly decisive or whatever their metric is, if you want them to be successful in sales. But what they never look at is the bottom performing salespeople and see how prevalent high decisiveness is.
Well, sure, because if you were going to talk in Clifton Strengths lingo, somebody who's an activator, who's going to just like boom, 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 jump into things, they may not always be successful.
Right. So unless you can prove to me with an assessment that all your best crew leaders are highly conscientious and all your worst crew leaders are not conscientious.
Yes.
Then it's not going to be predictive of success. And they never do it because it would destroy their entire business.
Wow.
They never do it. Now, a quality assessment like Clifton Strengths from Gallup.
Yes.
Will tell you, we're not going to try to do this. You should not use this. It would be dangerous to use this. But it's a lovely developmental tool. And that's what those could be if they were not misappropriately used.
Sure. But I have heard claims from other organizations that have assessments that will, you know, claim inappropriately that they are a good hiring tool.
Which is why I hate them.
Okay.
Not because the assessment is bad or it couldn't be used for development. I hate them because they're lying to business owners about the predictability of their tool.
Okay. So I know that Gallup for sure, and that's one kind of like pinpointed area where I'm more knowledgeable. They have profiles that tack on and give you way different information in terms of leadership, etc.
Right.
Let's talk about one that you really like for this area.
So there are two and only two assessments that I've ever found that I actually like for finding talent and making hiring decisions.
All right.
Most importantly, they were both created for that purpose.
Okay.
Most importantly, they both look at high performers and low performers.
Okay.
And they are role specific. Those are three things that an assessment must be to actually be applicable here.
That last one, role specific. I love that. Okay. Right.
So any personality test, any behavioral test, any IQ test, any skills competency will not help you predict talent. But these two assessments will. One is from Gallup. It's called the Builder Profile 10. It measures entrepreneurial ability across 10 aspects like ability to delegate, ability to have relationships, ability to generate profit, knowledge, determination, et cetera. And it is specific to a builder role. That would be leadership level, director level, manager level, basically any role where you need a high degree of autonomy and you need to be able to work in changing and ambiguous market situations.
Phenomenal. That's right. Great.
And we can hire people who have profiles that are likely to build and sustain organizations.
Okay.
Now, if your role is that, then this is highly appropriate. So we've helped companies hire general managers with this. We've helped companies hire estimators with this who are working primarily independently. If you're listening to this blog or reading on our website, it was not published by me or Leslie. It was published by Cassidy, who is a college student that works for me. She's the third college student who's taken on this role of marketing director for Grow the Bench. And all three of them scored highly on this assessment because they work very independently on their own. So even though it's not this highly paid, you know, C-suite level, it still has that same role specificity of build something of economic value in an ambiguous and volatile changing situation.
And how important is that today?
Yeah, no doubt.
So important.
Right? So we use that all the time for any role that is specific to that, but that's not every role. So another set of roles that we're equipped to help people hire for are people in sales, sales management, and sales support. And there's a key difference between those roles I described and selling, right? Which is
yes,
the rejection required, the will to sell, their comfortability discussing budget and money and reaching decision makers and being tenacious and hunting. It's a whole nother competency set.
Sure. And it's, you know, this kind of speaks to one of my objections, which is you have a very successful salesperson and you promote them to management when in real terms, they should stay exactly where they are.
Probably, right? Yes. More often than not.
Sure.
And this is so data-driven and predictive in a talent way that we know 91% of the time when someone is recommended and hired, they become a top performer within 6 months. And 75% of the time when they're not recommended but hired anyway, they wash out or are a bottom performer.
Well, it sounds like these two are tested and have shown
validated
to really...
and predictive. Okay. And by the way, Leslie, when I'm working with either of them, as soon as the person is hired, I give them a behavioral assessment to help develop them.
I mean, assessments cannot be understated in their importance. I know that there are people that object to these or are uncomfortable with them, but they are really such good indicators of A, success, as you've been talking about here. So more appropriateness for role. But on top of that, how do we make this person better?
Yes.
How do we help them be...
to have both components.
Yes, for sure. So
I would suggest is if you're looking to hire or you have someone who you think may be high potential, let's take a one-hour assessment to be sure that your investment will be worthwhile.
Well, I mean, based on some... how many... podcasts have we done on hiring and the foibles therein, et cetera, et cetera. This could really make a difference in terms of how many good hires you're making and how easily that can be done.
I mean, the reason why we now help other companies hire is because one day we were on a call and Phil goes, man, Neil, you are batting 1,000 and selecting people who can work for us that are amazing.
How'd you do that?
With an assessment, right? and by giving an assessment a heavy amount of weighting in a structured interview process, we have never, ever made a bad hire. When we didn't use the assessments, we poured all of our time and effort and energy into people who frankly had a lower level of potential than what we needed for the role.
All right. Well, proven. Proven, proven, proven. So... I'm just going to ask everybody to consider, how are you approaching your hires? Are you using assessments? And if you are they helping you understand if that person is right for the role you're hiring for? I know that Neil and Phil can help you to do this impactfully. And I just encourage you to go to growthebench.com, check out what's available there, and get in touch with Neil or Phil and talk about next steps and how they can help you. Hiring is so important. Would you not agree, Neil?
Absolutely. And we'd love to help you do it better.
Great. Well, thanks, everybody. This has been another Grow the Bench weekly short. I will be back next week with Phil Harwood and in 2 weeks again with Neil Glatt. Until then, have a great week. And enjoy the springtime.